Did you enjoy that firmly established song? Wasn't that good stuff? I was back there thinking, that needs a bass singer. That's the kind of stuff, isn't it? But you know, it's been neat. Last week we opened with Encounter, and you heard a little Encounter song that Ben Ward sang, and then this song Established. These are just our guys writing this stuff. Isn't that awesome? It's like the Lord's just downloading that stuff. And they also told me that you can go online and get that on our website, and if you want to hear those songs again or whatever, they're there, I guess. I don't know for sure if the Singing Cowboy has his stuff out yet or not, but I understand that he wrote that himself. That's pretty good stuff too, huh? Pretty mean Johnny Cash. But anyway, let's talk about what it means to get established and why that's so important in our lives today. You know, a couple of years ago, a pastor was on a special speaking assignment in Alaska, and his host took him to the Kenai Peninsula. And as they drove along the Cook Inlet, and we have a picture from over in that area, they saw this huge warning sign on this incredible black beach. And so the visiting pastor asked, "What's the deal with the keep out sign? I mean, that looks like a beautiful beach to me." And the host replied, "Oh, that's glacial silt. You don't want to get in that stuff. It's like quicksand. You sink in that and it wraps around you and you can't get out." So they put up those big warning signs to keep people off the beach. And then he went on to share this tragic story about a honeymooning couple who had rented some ATV four-wheelers, and they were just driving around all over the place having a blast. And the woman ignored the warning signs. And she drove into that stuff, and then she jumped off the ATV, and she sank in up to her knees. And at first, her husband thought it was funny. Then he stopped laughing when people on the road started yelling and waving at him to get out of there, and then the onlookers ran for help. And the tide was coming in, but the woman couldn't get out because this glacial silt was now up to her thighs. The fire department arrived, and they used pressure hoses to try to free her, but they couldn't because the tide now was even higher and more silt had accumulated. She was stuck up to her waist. They even brought in a helicopter to try and pull her straight up and out of there, but that effort failed as well. And despite all their heroic efforts, they were unable to save that poor woman as the tide flowed back in to Cook Inlet, and she drowned. In fact, there was a man here last night who came up and said, "I was there when that happened." He was working on the pipeline out there. He said, "It happens all the time. People ignore the warnings." And he said, "That stuff," he says, "you get in it, you can't get out." I said, "Well, why couldn't the helicopter help her out?" He said, "It almost would have pulled her in half because that stuff just, it just grabs you. You can't get out." And as I read that tragic story, it struck me that it is the picture of the dangers that you and I face in our world today. There is a silt in which we can sink. And there is a tide that seeks to pull us away from God along some attractive beaches that God has already warned us about. The Bible calls those beaches the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God has placed warning signs in His Word to keep us from playing on those alluring beaches where He knows we will sink in the mire of self-destructive habits and behavior. But people say, "Oh, you know, He's just trying to keep us from having fun," right? Look at that great beach. Why in the world would God not want me to go out there? People think God's just as killjoy. And because people are not grounded in God's truth or convinced of His loving wisdom, they blow right past God's warnings to their own detriment. A recent survey of American high school students found that nearly 80% of them said that they don't believe there's such a thing as absolute truth. That there's such a thing as right always being right and wrong always being wrong. So that, you know, when God puts up warning signs and he says that's right and that's wrong, he says, "Oh, nah, that's not really true." What's really amazing is that 70% of our church young people don't believe that there's such a thing as absolute truth either. So whatever you need truth to be in the situation you're in is fine. This is why sociologists have labeled this generation the whatever generation. 67% of those students said they regularly cheat on exams. You know, whatever. If it's right for the situation, it's fine. 66% said they regularly drink alcohol. Whatever. 56% said they regularly shoplift. Whatever. Sexual activity is rampant, whatever. Violent crime among 12 to 15-year-old kids has skyrocketed in the past 20 years by a staggering 156%. Whatever. The research shows that cut loose from the foundation of God's truth, young people are 200% more likely to steal, 200% more likely to physically hurt someone, 300% more likely to use illegal drugs, and 600% more likely to attempt suicide. Research also shows that when young people lack a basic biblical belief system, it negatively affects their attitudes. As a result, they are 225% more likely to be angry with life, 216% more likely to be resentful, 210% more likely to lack purpose in life, and 200% more likely to be disappointed in life. I read those statistics and I say, man, seems to me to be an awful steep price to pay for a whatever lifestyle when the God who loves us offers us abundant life based in His truth. And it all means that a lot of people are sinking in the silt of their own poor choices because their lives have not been established and founded on the truth of God's word and God's wisdom. And Jesus told us as much when he spoke of two different types of people in life. There are those who build their lives on the bedrock of absolute truth, and those who build on the shifting sands of a whatever philosophy in life. And he said they get vastly different results. He said in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine, and notice he didn't just say, hears them. He said, who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. We're talking about activating God's truth in our life. So whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And when we talk about that word established today, it's a biblical word that comes from construction and has to do with the kind of foundation that you've built. Jesus said, I want to have you have your foundation on the rock. But look, he said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Guys, what was the difference between those two scenarios? I'm not sure. Just looking at the house with our physical eyes, we could have told that much of a difference. Maybe even the one who was built on sand had a flashier house. But when the storms came, it revealed what it was they were established upon. One was built on God's truth, and one was built on whatever. And Jesus was saying that you cannot build a wonderful life on a whatever foundation. Your life will be only as secure and stable and strong as the foundation upon which it is built. This is why God challenges us today. If you want to live the kind of revolutionary life I intended you to live, your life has to be grounded or established in the truth. And this leads us to the second component in our revolution series, where today we look at what it means to get established in our faith. And just to review, last week we looked at the encounter component, the fact that life changes when we encounter Jesus Christ in the fullness of His love and power. And in order to begin a relationship with Him, we said you have to enter through that door of salvation where you meet the one who will forgive your sin, the one who will put you on a new path, the one who will give you eternal life when you die. He enters into your life when you put your faith and your trust in Him. But we said over time, as you grow in Him, you also meet Him in some other dimensions, not just as your Savior, but He'll come to be your healer and bind up the brokenness in your heart. Yes, He heals physically, but guys, some of our greatest needs for healing are those inner wounds that Jesus Christ comes to heal. And then He also said He'd be the one who would release us from the prison of our hurts and our unforgiveness and our bitterness. And then He said He wants to meet us as well as the one who will deliver us from the oppressive lies that we have believed, that keep us from living the kind of life that Jesus wants us to live. And all of these kind of encounters, I've had many wonderful encounters with Jesus Christ in my life. And it's these encounters that release us into more and more of our intended purpose and design. But friends, listen, these encounters cannot take the place of our need to get established in our faith. God didn't bring us across the line of faith and say, there, that's the extent of my purpose for you. Now just go to church for an hour a week, try to be a better person, and otherwise wait until you die to enjoy all that I have for you. Rather, he says, I have a boatload of kingdom exploits for you to do right here and right now. But in order for you to do everything I want you to do, in order for you to become everything I want you to become, to live the kind of life I want you to live, you've got to get established in your faith. You've got to build your life, he says, and operate your life on the foundation of my truth, lest you just get sucked under by the world's silt or you be rendered ineffective in your life because you settled for a whatever approach to life. See, the only way we can effectively carry out the plans God has for us is to get established in faith and in love. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, which Gary read a little bit earlier. Let's just look again. It says, as therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Notice it didn't put a period there. Hey, I'm glad you received him. Again, just go to church, become a little better person, and you'll get on the great life in heaven later on. I'm glad that's all true. But he didn't put a period there. As you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, so live in him. Right here, right now, live in him. Rooted and build up in him. And what's the word? Established in the faith. I'm so glad when God, I always say it, when God agrees with me. See? He wants you to be established in your faith. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And then look at this great prayer in Ephesians 3, verses 17 and 18. This is called an apostolic prayer. It's a prayer you're to pray continually over your life that God would release this truth and this power in your life. It says, I pray that you being rooted, and what's the word? Notice it's established in love. So established in faith, established in love. I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. There's an amazing, amazing statement. God wants you to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, that you would operate in this world as if God is borrowing your body. I'm not making it up. It's right there. Now, when I speak today of getting grounded or established in your faith, it's important for you to understand that there is always a relational component to this as well, because God doesn't intend for you to be a Lone Ranger Christian. He doesn't. Part of why he wants you to be a part of a church is because you grow in your faith together with people. So when you're weak, your faith can be encouraged by other people's faith. And when you're getting off base and you're making wrong decisions, your faith can be admonished by other people's faith. See, when you're getting stagnant in your faith, you know, other people's faith can motivate you. Thus, you've got to be established in faith and in love. And perhaps this is best pictured by a story I read about a troop of Cub Scouts who during a hike in the woods, they came across an abandoned section of railroad track. And each one in turn tried to walk the rail of the track by themselves, but eventually they'd lost balance and they'd fall off. And suddenly two boys kind of whispered something to each other, and then they bet everyone that they could walk the entire length of the track without falling off. And so challenged to make good on their boast, it's like, okay, here's the track. One guy jumped up on this one guy jumped over there, and then they reached out their hand and they held on to each other. They just walked along that thing real easily. Why? Because they helped each other keep their balance as they walked that track together. That's the picture that God gives us in terms of our being established in our faith. We got to do it within the context of people. So we're established in God's love, but we're established in love with one another. And it's that love that helps us to walk that track as we're established in our faith. But now I want to talk about why it is so important that you get established and why we're making a concerted effort at this point to develop materials and ministries around this whole idea of helping you get established in your faith. And I want to just give you six great reasons why God wants you to get established in your faith, why he wants you to be firmly grounded and rooted in the truth. And we're just going to do these in rapid fire today. So if you got your pens and your pencils out, we're ready to go. Some of you are note takers, but that's okay if you're not. We're just going to click through these real quickly. Okay, here we go. Reason number one why God wants you to be established is so that you'll have a basis for making wise decisions in your life. See, the more you know the Word of God, the more clearly you can make wise decisions that come your way. If you don't know what the Word says, then you're more likely to bypass the billboards of God's truth and end up in the silt of poorly made decisions because you simply followed what the world said. when you make your decisions based on a whatever philosophy of life, guys, the good news is that you really can go ahead and do whatever feels good at the moment. The bad news is you don't get to control the consequences. And there will always be consequences for the decisions that violate God's laws. As someone has said, if you jump off a 30-story building, you don't break the law of gravity so much as you illustrate it. Right? We understand. I didn't break the law of gravity. I was broken against it. And that's how it is with God's laws. See, everyone is quick to tell you in our whatever world that it's your life, go ahead and do as you please, but no one tells you about the consequences. And I always like to think of the consequences as kind of that bounce back factor. I saw that at work in our home last week. My son Jonathan was home from college, and on Sunday he was out playing with my younger son Nathan. And Nathan likes baseball. And so he's wrapped one of the, I don't know if you've seen these things, they're rubber straps that have a baseball on the end, and you can wrap them around a pole. So this is wrapped around our basketball goal, okay? And what you can do is you hit that ball on the end of that strap, and it just wraps real quickly around the pole, and then it unwraps like somebody's pitching it to you again. And so you can just sit there and take baseball practice, you know, practice hitting that ball all day long without having to have a pitcher. So it goes around the pole, unwraps, okay? No one told us what happens if you swing and miss at that ball when those straps are nice and tight. Jonathan found out. He took a mighty swing. As those straps were tight, it sent the bat right back into his mouth. Yeah, we ended up with teeth busted out. We ended up Monday, before he's to go back to college, with him spending 3 pretty serious hours doing some dental reconstruction, you know? Not fun stuff. Now, he wasn't out there goofing around. It's just he didn't know, but he caught the bounce back factor. And guys, that's exactly what happens in our life. It's not that people are always trying to do the wrong thing and making poor choices. But if they don't know what God has said, guess what? They still get the bounce back factor. There are sins of rebellion where you know God's truth and you go ahead and do it anyway. And there are sins of ignorance where you don't know what God has said, so you do it. But guess what, guys? While the motivations are different there's... you still can't avoid the bounce back factor. You have to deal with the pain and the brokenness that comes. A couple years ago, a young Christian teenager came to me because she was seeing strange apparitions in her room when she would try to go to sleep, and she was terrified. Now she wasn't sleeping, and sleeping with the lights on and all this type of stuff. And I knew this stuff was real. You just can't talk someone out of it, but I also knew it didn't just happen. There had to be a doorway into her life as to why these kind of things were going on. And as I explored a few questions with her, I'm just going to read some things related to the dark side, related to the occult. And I was kind of feeling foolish for even doing it. She's not even know what half these things are. As I just began to go down a list, all of a sudden her jaw falls open. She goes, "Oh my gosh." She said a couple years, you know, for the last couple years, different times, she had visited a psychic because she wanted direction for her life. And this person seemed to know what they were talking about. Well, guys, right there was the entrance for this kind of activity. Of course, we dealt with it through the power and the truth of Jesus' name and the blood of Christ. But God's word tells us, see, to have nothing to do with psychics and fortune tellers, etc., because there will be consequences to seeking guidance from the wrong sources. But you see, if we're not established in God's truth, we're more susceptible to making those kinds of poor decisions. She hadn't made that decision out of rebellion. She'd made it out of ignorance. But there was a bounce back factor. God says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, don't make fast friends or lovers out of those who are going a different direction spiritually. But people either don't know, or those who do know say, whatever. And they pay the consequences later when the relationship breaks down. God says, don't engage in sexual activity with another person outside of marriage. But we either don't know, or we say, those who do know say, whatever, and then pay the spiritual, emotional, and physical consequences of such decisions. Now, guys, the good news is, wherever you are today, whatever mistakes you've made in your past, there is forgiveness, and there is release from the guilt and shame and bondage of our poor decisions in the past. It will bring them to God and seek His healing grace. Yes, sometimes there's even release from the pain of the consequences. Not always. But God wants you to be established in His truth, to know what the truth is, first of all, and then to activate that truth in your life so that you'll stay out of the muck and the mire of bad decisions that bring nothing but pain and brokenness to your life. He loves you. That's why He puts up the warning sign. Don't go in that mire. He wants you to be established so you'll make wise decisions. Reason number two. God wants you to be established so you have ammunition for facing and overcoming temptation in your life. When Jesus was faced with the temptation, it's really insightful to me that He used the truth of God's word to defend Himself to overcome that temptation. And I often think, you know, if the Son of God had to use the word of God to win over temptation in His life, maybe we're going to have to do the same. You look at Matthew chapter 4 and verses 1 to 11, and three times the enemy came to Jesus and tempted Him, and three times Jesus resorted to the word of God and quoted scripture at him and said, "It is written." See, He knew how to use the word of God. Jesus knew that the word of God on His tongue, there was inherent power, see, in the spoken word of God to defeat the tempting suggestions of the enemy. Now guys, the Bible is called your sword of the Spirit. You're to use it to defend yourself whenever the enemy says, go ahead, it won't hurt, or tries to suggest to you things that you know are off limits. You bring that sword out and say, "It is written." But how can you do that if you don't know what the word says? Beyond that, when you're establishing God's truth, it can help you to avoid many temptations altogether. Now you understand, I can't avoid every temptation. Just living this world is going to bring temptation at times, whether I'm looking for it or not. Sometimes temptation will find me, and then I have to use the truth of God's word if I'm going to overcome that temptation. However, when we know that God's word warns us not to take part in certain activities or to avoid certain situations altogether, guys, then we're ahead of the game because it keeps us from willfully putting ourselves in temptation's path to begin with. But as someone has said, the reason many of us have such a difficult time overcoming temptation is because we don't want to discourage it altogether, right? Some of us just like to, I know, I don't think I'm going to go out there on that beach, but it won't hurt me to go out there and look at how lovely it is. We kind of put ourselves out there when the Word of God's saying, hey, don't go there. Some of you may remember the story about the man who was on a diet to lose weight. Even changed routes to work in the morning because he was serious. He wanted to avoid a particular bakery which displayed all kinds of scrumptious looking pastries in its window. But one day he arrived at the office carrying this beautiful large coffee cake. Of course, everybody knew he was supposed to be on the diet, and they started kind of razzing him about the fact that he had slipped off this diet so easily. And in reply, he said, "Well, you know, today I accidentally drove by the bakery and I looked in the window and I saw a host of goodies." Now, he said, "I knew it was no accident that I had taken the wrong route, so I prayed, 'Lord, if you want me to have one of those delicious coffee cakes, let me find a parking space right in front of the bakery.'" And he said, "Sure enough, the eighth time around the block, I found it." That's how some of us approach temptation. It's like we just keep putting ourselves out there in the path and then wonder why we fall. But knowing and activating the Word of God in our lives, see, can keep us from putting ourselves in the way of temptation to begin with and help us to overcome those that come our way anyway. Getting established in God's truth, guys, yes, it'll be a basis for making wise decisions. It'll give you ammunition against temptation. Reason number three why God wants you to be established is you'll experience greater and deeper life change. You'll experience the transformation He wants to be going on in your life. God's expressed intent in the life of every believer is to so change our lives that we live and love and look like Jesus is living in our bodies. Romans 8:29 says that all the work that God has done and is doing in our lives is to the end that we might be conformed to the likeness of His Son. That's exactly what that means, that we will live and look and love like Jesus is using our bodies. Now, I know the singing cowboy was razzing me again today, but I brought something along here just to explain this point. And I can't slip it over me right now, but let's just say I've got this on. And just humor me for a minute and pretend that I'm the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. That's my age. And, well, our quarterback is almost as old as me anyway. So anyway, let's say that I just have been traded to the Packers from the Broncos. We're going to play them Monday night. Okay? And so I'm in there as the quarterback, And I throw like 7 or 8 passes directly to their defense. Like I'm intentionally trying to get interceptions. Now, our quarterback looks like that once in a while, okay? But let's just say, you know, man, this guy just looks like he just fired him right at their guys. Let's say about the time I'm ready to get sacked, I just kind of hand off the ball. Say, oh, you want the ball, go ahead. I get all kinds of stupid penalties. When my receivers are open, I just throw the ball into the ground. And then, to make matters worse, when I'm leaving the field, I'm high-fiving their players. Hey, guys, you like the way I'm playing for you? You know what I mean? And sooner or later, you're going to ask the question, who are you playing for anyway? And I'm going to say, well, what do you mean? Can't you tell? I have the jersey on. What do you mean, who am I playing for? And you'd have every right to say, hey, you might be wearing the right jersey, but you look like you're playing for the wrong team. Now, guys, I want you to understand, when you walked across the line of faith, in that moment, in the spiritual realm, there were significant things that happened. You slipped off the jersey that said Hell's Angels. And you put on the jersey that said God Squad. And God wants to activate that truth in your life every day that you belong to Him and that you will look as you live for Him like you're on the right team. But you have to be established in the truth for more and more and more of that reality to be lived out in your life. Recent statistics tell us 98% of our young people who claim to be followers of Christ, and this isn't just about young people. There are significant statistics for adults as well. And these are people who claim to be followers of Christ. They do not reflect Christ-like attitudes or actions. And I say, why is that? See, somebody once said, if the world convicted you of being, if you were convicted for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were charged for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence? Why is it that more Christians don't show forth the evidence? They look like they're playing for the wrong team. I'll tell you why. It's because our lives haven't been established in the power of God's truth. Our new identities haven't been shaped by the power of God's truth. You understand, friends, it's not enough to just cross the line of faith and say, there, I'm glad I got that taken care of. Now I can get back to business as usual. No, God wants you to live a revolutionary life, one where you are increasingly transformed into the image of Jesus Christ so you can love like He loved, live like He lived, and so that God can do powerful things in and through you. But in order to do that, you've got to get established. You've got to get established in your faith. You do that, you'll have a basis for making good decisions. You'll have ammunition when you're tempted. You'll have greater and deeper transformation in your life. Reason number 4 why God wants you to be established is you'll have a basis for discerning false ideas and philosophies of life. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:14 that when we grow into maturity in our faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Guys, it's only as you are established in the truth of God's word that you have a basis for discerning the kinds of destructive philosophies that abound in our world today. As I said last week, when books and movies like The Da Vinci Code come out, you won't be thrown off. You'll know how to answer those kind of things. When Oprah gets up and raves about The Secret and you read that, you can say, this isn't truth, this is crap. That's what I call it. It's okay to call it that. But you don't know that if you're not established in the truth. You think, oh, wow, this is pretty cool stuff. When someone tells us, as one man did, that he had an experience with God that showed him that all religions were the same. I know he's had a false experience. They ain't been with God. When someone comes along like a guy down in Miami today who secured a large following, he claims to be Jesus Christ. He does all this amazing stuff. I know the guy is deceived. And so are the people who are following him because they're not established in the Word of God. And people who aren't established in the Word of God can be led into believing anything. What was it they say? Person who stands for nothing will fall for anything? That's the essence of a whatever philosophy. Our culture today wants you to buy into the ooze of pluralism and the belief that there's nothing unique about this person, Jesus Christ, and nothing unique about Christianity's claims, and that everyone else's beliefs are equally valid. And the only way you can stand strong against the tide of culture and not be sucked into the mire of relativistic and pluralistic thinking is to be established in the truth of God's word. Reason number five God wants you to be established is that you'll be empowered to stand strong in the storms of life. What Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 7 is that storms are going to come that will test your faith. Ultimately, those storms will simply reveal whether you're established or not in the truth of God's word. If you aren't established, then you'll more likely fall away when suffering or testing comes. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus taught a parable about different kinds of heart soils, and he talked about the rocky soil where a seed would spring up quickly, but just as quickly it'd die out because it had no moisture. And explaining what he meant by this, he said in Luke 8:13, look at this. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. He's talking about they're not established. And then look what happens. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. Now, guys, that time of testing may be outside persecution from people who heap criticism on you because you're a Christian. It may be believers who disappoint you. It may be answers to prayer that didn't come. It may be tragedies that happened, and because you weren't establishing God's love and truth, you got offended at him because you thought things should be different. I'm a Christian, and he's not working things out the way I want him to. You know, in the early days of our church, a young couple was here for maybe 2 or 3 years, and I was fairly close to them. They were both divorced, remarried. They actually were doing pretty well for a while. She recommitted her life to Christ. He stepped across the line of faith for the first time. Their lives had just been a mess. God began to work things out for them. But something somewhere along the way happened that got him particularly offended. He wasn't getting the job that he wanted. The prayers weren't being answered like he wanted. He started fighting with her. One day, you know, she's thrown him out, locked him out of the house, all this type of thing. And later on, they ended up divorced, and his life just a mess again. I was with him one day after all this had happened. I said, so tell me what's going on in your walk with Jesus. He said, oh, that's really nothing to me anymore. I said, what do you mean? I said, I was there when you walked across the line of faith. I was there when you came to believe. And you've seen God do some things in your life. He said, you know, Cal, I don't think I ever really did it because I really believed. I think I was just hoping that maybe God could get me out of the mess that I was in. But you know what? It doesn't seem like it's really made any difference, so I really don't want anything to do with that Christian thing anymore. Guys, I want you to hear me today. Do we serve a powerful God who performs wonders on our behalf? Absolutely. I can tell you about the wonders I've seen. Do we serve a mighty God who answers prayer? Absolutely. But do we serve a God who has promised to shield us from every storm of life? Not on your life. We serve one who has promised to be powerfully present with us in every storm we go through. Yes, he will even keep some storms from coming our way, those we may not even know about, but he will be powerfully present when we have to go through a storm. But if you came to Jesus Christ under the false pretext that somehow walking with him would automatically exclude you from every storm of life, you are going to be sorely disappointed and you're going to fall away when testing comes. See, you're going to go through storms, and only as you are established in a knowledge of his truth are you going to be able to overcome and stand strong instead of falling away because you got offended. And so you better ask yourself as you sit here in this seat today, first of all, have I come across that line of faith? Because, guys, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you will only be standing in the end if you're standing with him. There's no other way. So have you stepped across that line of faith? But if you can sit there and say, yes, I have, then I want to ask you, did you come to Jesus because you believed with all your heart that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and even if nothing worked out in my life from here to eternity, I'm still trusting him because of who he is? Or did you come because you thought, oh, well, maybe he'll solve all my problems for me. And now that those problems haven't gotten solved, you've gotten just kind of, you've kind of backing up going, well, I don't know if this is going to work or not. Truth works, guys, but you come to him because he's the truth. Not because you're hoping it works. And so you got to be established so you know how to stand by faith and use the word of God when the storms are coming against you. Reason number six God wants you to be established is you'll have the courage and confidence that you need in the face of fear. Mike Bro, who's a teaching pastor up at Willow Creek Community Church, has just written his first book. It's just a very short book. Somebody sent me this week, and I read it in about a half hour, and I was just touched by some of the stories in there. But he tells the story of his daughter, Jody, who had gotten caught up in a whatever lifestyle in high school. And somewhere in her senior year, she had an encounter with Jesus that brought her back, changed her life. And when she graduated from high school, Jody said, I want to make my life count. I don't think I want to go to school right away. And a few years earlier, their family had gone on a short-term trip to Haiti. So Jody said, I'd like to go back to Haiti and work for a year with those orphans and poor people at the medical clinic. And of course, the parents objected. They said, Joe, you know, Haiti's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It's AIDS infested. It's voodoo controlled. You want to live there? You know, you can understand these parents' hesitation, but Jody said, no, I fell in love with those kids, and I think God wants me to give a year of my life to do that. So reluctantly, they said, okay. And not long thereafter, Jody found herself living in a remote part of Haiti. One night, Mom and Dad got an email that read, Mom, Dad, this was the most phenomenal night of my life. Someone came and got me in the middle of the night to help deliver a baby. I got to this little hut, and there's this naked, screaming, pregnant woman lying on the dirt floor. They called me because they saw me with the nurse and thought I was a nurse. But I don't know how to deliver babies. I just kind of assisted once. And I'm in this hut by myself thinking, I'm 18 years old, in a third world country, in the middle of the jungle, by myself, with a flashlight and a screaming, naked, pregnant woman lying on the dirt floor of a hut, and I'm going to have to deliver this baby. What am I doing here? She said, to make matters worse, a visitor walked into the hut. She was dressed in the blue and red wardrobe of a voodoo witch doctor. She said she began to chant some evil incantation thing. She walked around me and the pregnant lady all the time with this chant going in Creole. And then she stopped and she put some oil on the lady's stomach. And then she reversed her walk and she kept chanting the whole time. And then she stopped and she put some oil on the lady's forehead. And then when she was done, she walked over and she just bored holes in me with the most evil stare I have ever seen in my life. Jody says, I'm getting ready to deliver this baby, and I'm thinking, I'm 18 years old, I'm in a third world country, 3,000 miles away from home. I'm in a hut with a naked, screaming, pregnant woman lying on the floor. I've got a flashlight and a voodoo woman staring an evil hole through me. She said, I didn't know what to do. But she said, I just looked right back at her, and I knew she didn't understand English, but I started singing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And she says it was amazing. She said that woman looked at me, picked up her stuff, and ran out of the hut. And she says, I knew then that that baby was going to be born under the blessing of God rather than under the curse of Satan. Isn't that awesome? And there she is. Guys, I read that and tears came to my eyes, and I said, Lord, I long to lead a church that's filled with families and teenagers and kids who know in the midst of a whatever world that our God is an awesome God, and who are convinced that God's truth activated in our lives will always bring light and hope and power to every dark or fearful situation, and thus we will always stand and sing in the face of our fears. Our God is an awesome God. Those who know their God, who are established in the power of His truth, will stand with that kind of courage and see God do great and awesome things to the glory of God. That's what God wants. And so we're going to be more intentional about helping you get established. We're going to be more intentional than we've ever been before. We've established, we've developed 33 what we call core essentials that we're going to build into your lives. 11 core beliefs, 11 core practices, 11 core virtues. And our goal over the next year or two is we're going to develop classes. We're going to develop our own small group materials around these essentials so that you get established in the main things and you are able to use God's truth in your life on a daily basis. Beyond that, we wanted to help you get more established in your personal walk with God because it all starts there. And so we're going to be providing you today with a free Northwoods Journal that we just developed. We invested in ourselves and said, we're going to give them to you free of charge today. And you may remember in the First and Ten series, I did one on keeping the chains moving that was just wrapped around daily, bending down, building up, and blocking out. It's all based on that. So what you need to do when you get yours, I've got about 3 pages of instructions, okay? Don't start without reading the instructions. It'll tell you how to use the book. And then inside is just a journal. This could take you the next 3-6 months. If you need to get another one, you go to the bookstore, you buy them for a minimal price there, you get your first one free. And it's just all built. You put the date. It's got a bend down, build up, block out that you can record. There are resources here. I've given you 10 of the greatest promises that I use in my life all the time to help you know how to make faith affirmations where you take the power of God's word on your tongue and begin to claim it over your life. It'll activate your faith. It'll warm up your faith. We've got in here a little journal for Bible reading that'll take you through the New Testament and the Psalms and Proverbs in a year's time. So it's not a real heavy dose, but every day you can sit down with the Word of God and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, and you can check off where you are in your Bible reading. We've got in here a prayer resource guide so that you can put down the date that you prayed, what the request was, and you can record when God comes through and answers that prayer for you. Guys, all of this designed to help you begin to get established. And I hope it's your prayer as you sit down with God on a day-by-day basis. You say, oh God, I want to be established fully in faith and love. And I want you to ignite my heart with your truth as I go out to live out that truth in a whatever world. You listen to this song that kind of is our prayer as we conclude today. Amen. Thank you, Kirk. I hope that's your prayer today. Let's stand together. Just invite the Lord to do His work in our lives. And again, for those of you who maybe brought a hurt or you're carrying a burden here today and you're feeling so alone, I want you to know that last week we started a prayer ministry. Every weekend, we're going to have people down here who can pray for you. So if you just want to stay behind when the service is over, there are people who will be glad to enter in and seek God with you, stand with you in the power of His name, the power of His truth, as we seek God for those needs that we have in our lives. If that's you today, you just come down afterwards and be glad to pray with you. Father, today we just say thank you so much for your love, and we want to be established in that love. And we say thank you so much for your truth, and God, we want to be established in your truth so we know how to stand strong in the shifting sands of life so that we can stand and watch you come through, so that we can be faithful to you, so that you, O Lord, can transform our lives into the conformity of the image of Jesus Christ. We long for that, Lord. Some of us maybe feel like, man, I've wasted time. And God, I thank you that you're a God who can make up wasted time. And so we just say, you know, Lord, from here on out, I just want to commit myself to spending that time with you on a daily basis, letting your word speak to me. Father, I pray you'll use these journals that we're giving away today, that people will just feel like the most important part of their day is sitting down over that coffee cup or wherever, however they do it, sitting down and saying, Lord, ignite my heart. Speak your truth into me that I may stand on the truth and see you do mighty things, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, friends, thanks so much for being here today. Hope to see you back next week for part 3. Have a great week.